Maranatha, we have come to the last sermon in our series on the wonderful anticipation, the posture of a church towards the second coming of Christ Jesus. The topic we have covered are the believer's waiting, the believer's watch, and the believer's walk. We therefore close with the believer's work until the Son of Man puts in his appearance. Matthew 24 and 25 addresses Jesus' teaching on his return. Jesus talks about the unpredictability of his return, Matthew 24 and verse 43, but he affirms the certainty of his return, Matthew 24 and verse 42. There are other passages that equally address the certainty of Jesus' return. In John 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus himself states that he will return when he assures his disciples. In verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, and please note, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Also, angels make the same point in Acts 1 and verse 11, when they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven." His return to this earth will be seen on the same basis, which are physical and visible. And the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 28, reads, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This was written with much assurance, drawing our attention not only to the first advent of Jesus Christ, but second as well." Each verse that I have quoted, each passage that I have referenced, all have two things in common. The first, they are assured declaration of Jesus' return, and secondly, the believer's response to assurance of this return. My brothers and sisters, my friends, in light of Jesus' sure and certain return, how should we respond? The response that the Bible calls us to is one of conviction and commitment. Commitment to the service of Christ Jesus, our King. In other words, until Jesus comes, we must be found as faithful servants. Professor Stanley Griggs said that the watching and waiting for the second coming of Jesus means that the believers should call the nations to Christ Jesus in world evangelization. Citing Matthew 24 and verse 14, which reads, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." The professor went on to say that Jesus did not focus on discussions on time and chronology, but on the task of carrying the good news around the world. My brothers and my sisters, we must be found faithfully serving Jesus Christ. When he puts in his appearance, let us hear him again on this matter. Matthew 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their meat at the appointed time? Verse 46. It will be good for that servant whose master find him doing so when he returns. Verse 46. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. In Acts, the Apostle Luke tells us that Jesus had to correct the disciples' thinking when they asked regarding the timing of the restoration of a kingdom to Israel. But Jesus told them not to be concerned about the timing of God's program and plan, but rather that their focus should be on being witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Verse 8, we ought to be witnesses near and far. It is interesting to note that after this declaration and command, we see in our text, Jesus ascended to the Father in heaven, and the angels said to the disciples, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you will come again. Another passage, this time by the Apostle Paul, challenges the misconception about the resurrection of Jesus and life after death. In his closing thoughts, he reveals to us the wonderful assurance of the believer's victory over death. That is, seen, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And the believer's assurance, seen in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And indeed, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, this same Paul also said elsewhere in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all those who love his appearing. Paul built his assurance on the fact that Jesus will return, as well that he promised rewards to those who long for his appearing. The same is said by the Apostle John, who tells us that Jesus is coming and coming soon, and his reward is with him to give to each person according to what they have done. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Let us therefore strive to keep our eyes on Jesus as we wait for his glorious return. But until then, let us serve as we see the glorious advancements of the kingdom of God. And let us know that there will be the glorious rewards as well. C.S. Lewis wrote, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who taught most of the next. The apostles themselves, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished slave trade, all left their mark on earth, precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. So, my brothers and my sisters, please remember that this weary world, with all its toil and struggle, may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. So, let us serve Jesus Christ with much conviction and commitment. And I ask, are you working, my brothers and sisters, to hear from Jesus Christ the Lord? Well done. And those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, may I say, serving Jesus starts in salvation. May today you turn from sins and serve Jesus Christ before he returns. Here are the words of this song. But until then, my heart will go on singing. That is, until Jesus comes for his world. Until then, with joy I will carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. May we be watching, waiting, walking, and working for Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.